All right, welcome to Miracle Business Breakthrough. This is your host, Amy Yamada, and I'm so excited to have you joining us for our speaker series. And today, I'm really excited to introduce our featured speaker. His name is Navid Moases, and Navid is a lifestyle entrepreneur. He's a personal branding strategist, virtual summit expert, blogger, podcaster, and an online marketer. He's also the creator of the biggest online personal branding conference in the world, the Branding Summit, and his premium online training program, Virtual Summit Mastery. He's also the host of the popular podcast, The Lifestyle Architects. And the reason I am introducing Navid to all of you is that he helps awesome people create, promote, and profit from their own virtual summits to skyrocket their business and brand online. He's been featured in Business Insider, Yahoo Finance, The Guardian, Fizzle, Razor Social, Firepole Marketing, and more. So Navid's big mission is to help and inspire other people to live life on their own terms so they can achieve their ideal lifestyle. I just love what he's about. So welcome, Navid. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much, Amy, for having me on your amazing event here. It's just going to be exciting to share my message with your audience here, so thank you.
Definitely. And I know we've had a chance to chat a few times before today's interview, but I really love what you're about. Your energy is very positive. And when I first came across your website, I just thought, wow, I want that lifestyle myself. It's so great.
Oh, thank you. And it wasn't always this way, so we can kind of get into that.
Yeah, so definitely. Definitely. And you're in Cancun right now, yes?
I'm in Cancun right now. It's a little bit hot in my, apartment, but that's fine. I have the beach right outside, and soon I'll be actually moving to San Diego for a few months at the end of March, so that'll be also exciting to really meet up with some of the friends I connected with online, since I haven't really met anyone in person yet. So that'll be something I'm really excited about.
Definitely. Very, very cool. So I would love to just jump right in and see if you could share with us some of your own miracle business breakthroughs. So can you just kind of go back a little ways and let us know a little bit about your journey of where you got started in terms of your business and how it's taken you to where you are today?
Definitely. I think in order to really understand where I come from, I bring you back a little, till my high school years, kind of. I was playing a lot of sports. I was, kind of a health geek, soccer, swimming. And my mom, she's from Sweden. She's a teacher. My dad is a doctor, so from Iran. So it's very kind of traditional sense that I was going to become a lawyer myself. I was going to maybe go to the, dental school, medical school. But I went to the United States in one year, one of my years in high school in Sweden. So I just went to the United States, played soccer there for one year. Then, had a really good time. I came back to Sweden, finished up my high school, obviously. So I got pretty much two high school diplomas. Then right away, I got accepted to the top law school, one of the top law schools in Sweden, and just decided to go for it. I didn't know what I was going to do at all. So I did it. And for the first 3 years, maybe it was okay. I think I always wanted to live this extraordinary life, but I was trapped in this conventional living. I came from kind of a traditional background, but I didn't really know how to take things, to what I'm doing today. So I call these kind of my depressing law school years. Mm-hmm. I was kind of chained to my, at the time it was the, doing my homework every day, pretty much going to class. It was like very long days, and it was not really what I wanted to do. I looked in the future. What if I, in 10 years would be chained to a desk? I couldn't live with myself like that. So I got in more and more to personal development. I don't really know how I stumbled across that, but I think it was some people, they mentioned some books to me that I met on. I was traveling to the United States. I was traveling to London. I was living there for a little bit, and they recommended some books, and I started reading. I probably didn't read a single book before the age of 25, 26. Uh-huh. So I read, like, Think and Grow Rich was one of the first books I read, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And finally, that kind of led me on to 4-Hour Work Week. I'm sure many people have heard about that book. It's so famous, but I didn't take action that much, even though I got this, that you need to build relationships, you need to, surround yourself with successful people, all that kind of stuff I learned there, but something I did was that I started to question the status quo even more and more. So to fast forward this, you know, I knew that law school was not really for me at all at the time. I just kind of went to class because, you know, I had the pressure from my family a little bit to finish my degree. But in 2012, in June, in summer there, I got actually my first mentor, and that was a big step for me because I invested in myself. You know, it was not expensive. You know, I just found someone who was at the point where I wanted to be. He lived in Colombia. He had his lifestyle I wanted. So I kind of said, why not? You know, and I worked on the mindset a lot, but I still procrastinated. I didn't, you know, take action. I didn't launch my brand, avidmoises.com, you know, my website, until, you know, June 2013.
Mm-hmm.
But really the turning point for me that really changed everything, I mean, I started to learn a bit in 2012 about this field, starting to see that people could actually build a successful business online from the comfort of their own home. It was when my brother, you know, he passed away April 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really that moment where you, like, I came home from the United States, then I get this call from my mom, and I was like, wow, this doesn't happen, because I didn't have anything. I've been talking so much to my friends, my family, that I would launch something. And really, I managed to turn, even though it was the worst year ever for me, 2013,
mm-hmm.
I managed to turn that into massive personal growth, you know, because I launched my blog, NavidMoises.com, in mid-June 2013. And right. I did that by actually doing something scary, because that's something I learned from this horrible experience with my brother passing away. I really, you know, and I said, life is precious. You need to live life even more outside of your comfort zone. I was doing stuff like that before, but not really pushing myself to my limits. So I went for the best. I reached out to Pat Flynn. I looked for an opportunity. And he was inviting people from his audience to interview him for, you know, my site, podcast, something like that. And he said yes. So that was, the, you know, really exciting. You know, I got the momentum building up for my website there. And also, this event, it led me also to eventually dropping out of law school in 2013. It was not because my business was doing well. It was just in the starting point. But law school was draining me so much. It was holding me back. And it was a risky decision, you know, to just drop out. And I wouldn't maybe recommend it unless you have a stable, you know, income or something like that. But I did. And it was, for me, it was the best decision ever. And really, you know, worked, you know, really hard since then to really make it happen and really, you know, make this a reality for myself that was just a dream not too long ago. And
mm-hmm.
since then, I've never really looked back. And I started very simple, you know.
Sure.
I mean, you can go back to the early days of my website. It was not like what it looks like today, like professional and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have a question for you. So when you were in law school, because I think this is an area that a lot of entrepreneurs can really relate to, in terms of being somewhere that they don't want to be and knowing that entrepreneurship is really calling to them, right? So what was it? Was there a certain moment when you were still in school where you just were like, I need to move on from this? Because that can be a really big moment for a lot of people if they're working in corporate America, or they're in school but they're not loving what they're doing. Was there a certain moment that kind of had you just come to that aha moment?
I think I've always wanted to do something different. It was just that I was afraid to do something else. I was like, this was kind of a trap, basically. I went in there because the society, I had my family, they wanted me to do something like that. And I thought, okay, by going to law school and then eventually graduating and getting, you know, coming into maybe a good law firm, I would earn a lot of money. That was my pretty much the intention. I didn't really have the passion. So I looked for, you know, I met other people. That's probably when I started to think, okay, there's something else out there, you know, I can also do this. So I met other people, actually, not really in the online space. I just saw that they were traveling, they were doing kind of exciting things, you know, pretty much what I'm doing now, but I had no idea how to execute this at all
right.
until later, you know, when I actually found this community of amazing people online that were doing these things I wanted to do for myself.
And mm-hmm.
yeah, so that's kind of, I think the best thing you can do if you're like not sure is like really having a support group of people, because that's what I had for myself. I joined masterminds. I didn't really have a lot of people in Sweden where I lived at the time that could support me, but I looked online. You can go to, I mean, you can search in your field, maybe you have some support communities. And I joined those, I even paid for some of them. And I met some people that were kind of on my level when I was starting out. Now, you know, a few years later, they quit their job, they're doing exciting things, they're living their dream pretty much. And it's just cool to see that. And I think that's the most important thing, to really surrounding yourself with successful people in order to grow and take things to the next level.
Absolutely. And, you know, I really appreciate you sharing, you know, kind of a personal story about losing your brother. I did not know about that. And it's just something else when you lose a loved one, you know, and I can totally relate to that. You know, anyone who knows my story, it was in 2010 when I lost my mom, and it just was just the most life-changing experience, you know, to really realize that exactly what you said, life is so precious, you know, and we're not guaranteed any amount of time while we're here. And so why not make it count, right? And so there's definitely a beautiful message in that. And so thank you for sharing that. And I'm sure it was a big experience for you.
Yeah, definitely. And sorry to hear about your mom. I didn't know that either. Mm-hmm. So that, I mean, that's, I mean, you know, then you know that how precious everything is, that you can, you know, for us, that you lose someone that's that close, you know, that you, it's kind of a superpower. At least I felt this way, that I knew that I'm not going to give up no matter what. I'm going to make this work no matter what and really make it happen. I knew it was going to be hard, but right. I just took action. You know, that's kind of the, you know, acting before I was ready. I didn't know how to do an interview before I reached out to Pat Flynn, but mm-hmm. I did it anyway. I figured it out, you know. I mean, we talked about this before, like, you know, how you record an interview, all this kind of stuff. I didn't know that, but I figured it out. And that's why I managed to turn, you know, doing a lot of interviews, and eventually I turned my, you know, online summit, my virtual summit, branding summit, into massive success by interviewing people.
Right. So tell us a little about that. So you did this initial interview and learned, wow, I can actually generate revenue from this. Is that how that happened?
Not really. Not exactly right away. It was like I interviewed Pat Flynn. I was like starting to build up some content on my website. I think I did like a 30-day blog challenge where I like found my voice. And then eventually I upped my game a little bit with a more premium design. I found a designer. You know, he really helped me a lot. You know, I couldn't have done a lot of things without him, honestly. He's also a good friend of mine now. So this person really means a lot. Also, you know, the people I surrounded myself with. But to make a long story short there, I actually was doing just interviews in the beginning for my website because I like to learn from people. I connected with a lot of entrepreneurs. Then I decided to launch a podcast because that was kind of the hot thing happening. A lot of people were doing it. So I decided, let's launch, you know, the Lifestyle Architects. And it went live in April 2014. Mm-hmm. And since then, you know, I've interviewed some great people like Robert Greene, an author of Mastery and 48 Laws of Power, many amazing books, Cal Newport, Todd Herman, Chris Brogan, Laura Roeder, many, many people there. And it was really the best relationship builder ever to really connect with those people. And obviously, I got free mentorship. They didn't charge for their time. But the problem I found there was that it did not generate much cash flow in my business or grow my email list rapidly. You know, that's kind of, you know, what you have to do if you're an online entrepreneur, if you want to maybe create courses. You need to grow an email list, and not any email list, like really an engaged email list. You build a lot of trust with them. And I had a small audience at the time that I built up with doing epic guides, writing that on my blog, sharing it with my list. So I had a very small audience. It was probably less than 1,000 people at a time. But then in the summer of 2014, I decided now it's going to change. It looked a little bit what other people were doing. I saw in the health niche, people are doing this like online events where they still interviewed kind of, you know, the experts, or they had presentations from experts in their field and featured them in an online event, a virtual summit, you know. And that's kind of, I obsessed a lot. I, you know, went out and researched with how I could do this. I had no experience. Again, I just kind of acting before I was ready. And I decided I wanted to become the go-to person for, you know, personal branding for online entrepreneurs. So I decided, okay, the branding summit sounds good. And then eventually that led to being the largest personal branding conference. I had like 88 speakers on there. And you know, a lot of people, they're familiar with podcasts, and a virtual summit is essentially like a podcast on steroids. You know, you right. can still interview experts in your field and borrow off their authority, learn from them. But not only that, you grow your email list, as I said, rapidly, and you can create the product fast and make money. You know, what I mean by that is people maybe you have your summit for free, and you know, when they sign up to it, and then in the, you know, back end, when they go to this thank you page, maybe you have an irresistible offer. You can just see how I did it in the, you know, if you go to thebrandingsummit.com, you just sign up, see how I did exactly, how I put it together, if you're interested in learning more about funnels and how it works with a summit, then you have this irresistible offer. So basically, you have a product by other people creating this content for you. Of course, you have to do great interviews and all that, but that's pretty much the story, what led me to that. And, you know, that's what enabled me to really go out, living my dream, traveling the world, and taking my online business and brand to the next level. And if you want, we can even get into some specific results, what such a summit can lead to.
Yeah, so for me. So if you could, because I'm sure people are just kind of blown away right now, like, wait, what? You went from this to this? This is amazing. And they probably are intrigued as far as how can I create this kind of lifestyle for myself? And I love even the virtual summit business model. And as you and I have chatted about, there's many different ways to do summits, or there's different strategies behind them, or even just the reason why you do them in the first place. So can you tell us a little bit about kind of an overview, if you will, of a step-by-step of what your type of virtual summit that you teach others, what that looks like, and then how you were able to generate revenue from it?
Sure. I can give some tips, like my pretty much my framework, and then sure, I can even get into some of the results, what it led to for me and for, you know, what it can do for you as well. So basically, how I'm teaching this, or how I lay it out in a step-by-step format. So it's really the first thing you need to figure out before you do anything else, pretty much, is really defining a profitable virtual summit theme. And, you know, what I mean by that is, like, there's a few things there, you know, not go specific rather than broad in general, especially if you want to sell it. And, you know, think about what field you want to become the go-to expert in. You know, can research and model other summits you need. You know, that's probably other people doing something like this. Well, what you want to do, maybe not, even if there are no summits, there might be online courses, podcasts. You can look at what other people are doing. Mm-hmm. Then really looking at who you want to target, kind of your customer avatar. Mm-hmm. And because that's so important, really. You know, what are their pain points? What are they struggling with? You know, and kind of occupation, age, you know, it goes beyond just demographics and all that. So that's also important, because even if you don't have an audience, you can go out there to maybe even your network. You can see who would be a good fit for this summit and ask people. And then you can figure out, you know, okay, where do I want to position it? And this is actually the next thing here is really important, because it's building authentic, powerful relationships before you actually need them, and really going out there, you know, to experts. They are busy, so you need to build those relationships, especially if you want other people to promote. You need to make it very authentic. You need to make it worthwhile for them to be part of something you are creating. And first, maybe you start off by just getting on their radar, especially if they are busy. That works well. Maybe giving them a genuine compliment. Maybe you have read their books, so you can leave an Amazon review. There's many ways how to do that, especially if you look for opportunities. Be a little bit creative there. And then it's all about testing and analyzing this. Then you have pretty much a profitable virtual summit theme. That's what I did with, that's the framework I do with my clients. I do this for, you did with my summit. I looked at what was out there. I did a lot of research, but the foundation is so important. Mm-hmm. And then it's really about planning. You know, you need to plan your summit, right?
Right.
And there's a lot of things that goes into that. And I'm actually, we talked about this before, and I'm going to provide exactly this. It's going fast now. You can also check out this cheat sheet I have, you know, virtualsummitmastery.com/cheat sheet. It will be exactly the seven-step system I lay out, and it's a little more detail as well. But then in the third one is positioning your summit, really, you know, having a great design, you know, not just anything. You know, we see a lot of, maybe, you know, if it's bad position, you know, you want to make your speakers look good. So that's the third step, really positioning and creating this really great looking landing page. Mm-hmm. And then this is actually, a lot of people, they want to jump to this right away. It's getting, the fourth step is getting a key influencers on board as speakers, you know.
Right.
I mean, everyone wants that, you know, you want to have these amazing A-listers or whatever we want on our summit. But the thing is that you gotta invite the right speakers. So you gotta make sure they're aligned with your message, you know, so they can provide epic content that will really benefit your target audience massively. And it's good to also have a great balance between the top names in your field and some other people as well, like I call them A-listers, B-listers, and C-listers, because some people are up-and-comers, and even though they have maybe not as big of an email list, they can still have a very engaged audience that would be a good fit for your summit. So I wouldn't just look at the biggest people out there. Actually, I would have more people like in the B and C lister, because they are more likely probably to share. The A listers, the top of the game, you have them probably on your summit because you want them as a credibility boost mostly, and it doesn't matter if they don't share it out. So that's that step. And actually, if you, a bonus thing here is that if you really want to stand out with an invitation to speaker, you know, you can do video invitation, personalized message, and nobody's doing this, so you can really, really stand out. And the last thing I would say is, like, something actually you did well for this summit is that you did a pre-call, and which is really powerful, because I was, you know, I was really already clear what is involved with this, right? You
right.
know, what is expected from me, all that, you know, promotional schedule, everything. You made it super clear, and you also had obviously an agreement. All, everything was very professional leading up. So that's, you kind of followed this
right.
to the point. Okay, and then, you know, to fast forward, you know, step number five is really creating and delivering your summit. And a lot of people ask, how do you set it up? And yes, it can get a little techie, but, you know, I use a self-hosted WordPress site. Videos, you can use something like Vimeo or Vistia to host it. Don't make it too complicated, honestly. And the thing is also, before the interviews, like, learn how to do this, set it up. If you're doing video interviews, like what I normally recommend is like video summits, because it's a kind of, you can have more engagement if you have the audience there, either if you're doing live or pre-recorded. But make sure your webcam is working so you know the tech. And, you know, something easy, actually, I use a webcam under $100. It's a Logitech C920. It's really so good. It's crystal, it's so crisp when you have it.
Say it again.
Logitech C920. It's under $100 on Amazon. Anyone can pretty much afford that. And microphone, you know, I mean, I recommend that if you've never done anything like this before, if you not have a podcast or anything, you know, then I recommend. And if you're at home, I use a lav mic now since I'm traveling, but like a Rode Smart Lav you can use. Or if you're at home and have more space, you can use an Audio-Technica 80-2100, I believe. It's pretty good. So that's also a good one. But other than that, you know, setting up membership site, I mean, that's so much tech there. Actually, I could also provide a tools list for your audience if you want. So, so they have that too. It's at navid.me/... let's see what we make it. Summit Tools Guide. Summit, that's good. navid.me/summit tools guide.
Awesome. And we'll make sure that the links are all on your speakers page. So if people are missing it or the spelling or anything like that, we'll make sure that they have that. So that's perfect.
So, I mean, I had to do that. Otherwise, it's too many tools too. I mean, it's not that many tools, honestly. It's probably less than 20. It was just good to have an overview.
Right.
And then after the fifth step, really about delivering, creating and delivering your summit, you... Something a lot of people make a mistake at is that they don't promote early enough. So really launch like a pro, basically, I call this that sixth step. And it's like starting promotion, like even if you can, 3 to 4 weeks before. I mean, we are doing, for a client I'm working with, we are doing around 3 weeks, and we have a very clear promotional schedule. We created an affiliate page, and we are really clear with the speakers when they are expected to promote, and that just can build a lot of buzz. And you know, you can obviously use social media beforehand to build some buzz even before you have your, you know, landing page and all that live to the world. And you know, think about places you can get featured at and so on. I think there's a lot of things that goes into this, but really having it in mind when you're already starting creating your summit that you need to start promotion in order to get the word out there, get the speakers, and also other people involved. Not, maybe you have a network of friends that can promote it, so don't put all eggs in one basket, as I say. So,
right.
Yeah, and the last thing is what happens after the summit, and that's what I'm going to get into when I tell you about my results, pretty much. And really over delivering, you know, you can get ongoing opt-ins, more exposure and profits. You know, that's what happens afterwards. Your summit is just the starting point. Then what you do with that, build off momentum. You get featured on other places. You get partnerships with speakers and maybe promote their products. They promote your offerings. And you can even make your virtual summit evergreen, so you can generate money, you know, while you sleep, pretty much, you know, if you build a funnel for it. And that's a little more advanced, but there's something you can do, you know, as you're moving forward in this journey. So
So,
don't know if the
yeah,
it's exciting stuff. I mean, I get so fired up talking about
I know
it.
it's so fun, isn't it? And what I want to make sure is clear. So for those of you who have never done a summit before, or this is just blowing your mind, because I know the first time I even heard about doing a virtual summit or speaker series, even such as the one that we're doing right here with Miracle Business Breakthrough, it was kind of this like, wow, I've never thought of that as something that could be a part of my business, or it could be the business model, which it can be. There are very successful people such as Navid who really have made it profitable and fun, and you can grow your brand and connect with such amazing people. Just so they can understand, for as far as how you generate revenue in the way in which you do the summits, is it through having your experts, your speakers, sell products as a special offer on your summits, and then you do an affiliate, like a split, a commission split, or is it how you sell products after the summit is done?
That's a really good question, actually, and there's different ways of doing this. And
sure.
There's something called, I mean, it's free versus paid. You know, free, what I mean by free is that you have it free in the front. And when people go to this initial landing page, let's say thebrandingsummit.com, they sign up for free. Similar to this summit, it's free to attend, you know, for a limited time. And that's what I recommend if you want to grow your email list. Because by doing so, they go to a thank you page, and there I recommend having kind of an irresistible offer. Not only recordings, but you can have maybe some Q&A calls, maybe some ebooks, something related to you know, helping your audience get results with the summit, basically, with what they are learning there, because then they feel excited. I also can, if it's possible, you can have some live events that you kind of bundle together. So that's how you generate money. People are signing up, and then right away, you know, they say, thank you for signing up, pretty much. You can just see how I did it for my summit. And then they can purchase, you know, the package right away for, you know, in the beginning I had it for $97. And it started generating money, you know, throughout the entire summit. It's still generating money now as, you know, I raised the price to $197.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing so, I got about 200 sales or over $20,000 in profit just from kind of the summit. And I generated the almost 3,000 new email subscribers for free. I didn't do any advertising. So, and now, even since I got featured on Business Insider, you know, after the summit, I got 2,000 more. So that's kind of what it can do for you. It can instant board authority to you have the speakers on the summit. You
mm-hmm.
get position your face next to theirs. It's just very powerful. And what I see even now a lot is the partnerships I formed with some of the speakers from my summit. I
mm-hmm.
can, you know, form joint ventures. They can promote me, I promote their products, and really turning my, you know, I had some existing fans, but even new fans into super fans and lifelong customers. I have people that bought my Branding Summit All Access Pass. They will probably purchase anything I put out there, you know, in the future too. Like my, I had a virtual summit pilot program, they just jumped on that. And if I have some affiliate offers, usually they jump on that too. So that's like the trust engagement a summit can build for you. And obviously it's like quite exciting when I started to generating money while I sleep. I was at the gym, you know, starting to get, you know, I got a ping from my, you know, my phone, my emails, and I just saw, wow, a new sale. That was just amazing because I never experienced it before in that
mm-hmm.
way, especially so many in a short time.
Right. Oh, that's amazing.
So that kind of during the summit, but I want you to realize what can happen afterwards. And that's what I did in January. I was actually moving, I had quit my job. So I moved abroad to, first I went to Thailand with my mom and brother. Then I went to Mexico in January to Cabo San Lucas. And there I was not working that much. I was sending a few emails here and there to my list. And I was promoting an offer, you know, an online program I'm part of myself from Ramit Sethi. And I became his number one affiliate, you know, ahead of Laura Roder, John Lee Dumas, Chris Tucker, and many others, because I built this trust in my audience. And at the time, my list was about 3,500 people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this alone, in that month, you know, with this promotion, I generate over $40,000 in sales and profits, pretty much. And
mm-hmm.
from coaching, pre-sales of my virtual summit program, and I didn't have the biggest email list. You know, it's not about how big your email list is, but rather the engagement level of trust you build with your audience over time. And since then, my business, even since that month, you know, it's just taken off since I was featuring Business Insider. And it's just growing from there. That's the summit and the relationships. That's what I would say is the most important thing. Relationship building, you know, forming those authentic powerful relationships with people in your field, mm-hmm. and then also did my summit, then that took things to the next level. That was really the breakthrough moment.
That is so awesome. And I really appreciate you really breaking it down, because a lot of people are really intrigued by, as you said, when you first started seeing people who were living the lifestyle that you wanted to live. They're traveling, they're loving life, and you're like, I want that, right? I want to experience that. How do they do it? And there's different ways to do it, but you're a living example of an entrepreneur who has really found a really sweet spot in this world of virtual summits and doing it in such an authentic, beautiful way. And so I just want to say great job on everything you're doing. It's really inspiring.
Thanks so much. And it's, I am just so excited about this. I think it's a great opportunity for people to do this. It doesn't take, obviously it takes some work. I recommend, maybe we didn't speak about time, but maybe 90-day run period, depending on how much time you have to commit. But it's so worth it to invest a little bit of time, a little bit of money up front, mm-hmm. in order to get such a big return, like all the relationships. It's, as I said, the virtual summit is like a podcast on steroids. If you're doing a podcast or an interview series and you're not taking advantage of the benefits you can have from doing a virtual summit, you mm-hmm. just look what I've done, look what some other people have done too in, you know, the health industry and different niches. And it works pretty much in any industry too, doing a summit. So that's right. What's really exciting.
Absolutely. And like you said, it's just about connecting with really great people. You know, when I first came across your site and I thought, gosh, I really want other entrepreneurs, newer entrepreneurs to see what it is that you've done to get to where you are today, you know, and just by reaching out to you and connecting with you, just as I have with our other wonderful experts from Miracle Business Breakthrough, it's been so fun to just meet new people on this summit, you know, and just really get to know what you're about, what you're focusing on, what you've been doing in business. And as an entrepreneur, it's like my favorite topic. You know, I just love learning about people and finding out, you know, what gets them so excited about what they're working on in their business. And so I really am sure that for those who are listening, that this is an area that might be intriguing to you. Or if you've tried to do something like a summit, but you didn't quite have all the pieces, Navid is truly an expert in this. So that's super exciting that you've gotten to this level. And one thing that I noticed, I know we talked about this a little bit in our past conversations, but you talked about on your sites, and we chatted about this a bit, about being kind of like a citizen of the world, or someone who you really travel around quite a bit. So there's not any one place that you consider home. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote that on my site actually before I even, I have always considered myself a citizen of the world. I never felt that I completely belonged in Sweden. I didn't have many people that kind of I could turn to, pretty much not many like close friends after I left law school. So people didn't really understand what I was doing. So I needed to turn somewhere else. And at the time I didn't have the money to go travel. I needed to focus and build my business. And I did that from kind of the living room, you know, or my bedroom in Stockholm. That's where I built my, you know, the foundation of my business. And that enabled me. So now I can pretty much call myself a citizen of the world. Now I live in Mexico. So I will be in San Diego soon, the United States. Then in summer I'll be in Europe. Then probably maybe going back to Mexico since I like it so much here. So I kind of pick and choose. But, you know, it's not just, you know, this beach lifestyle a lot of people think. I love that. You know, I love to be able to go on a run in the morning, you know, go for a swim. But, you know, I work hard, you know, really to take my business to higher level, just to, you know, and serve more people and have more impact. That's kind of what really fires me up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So tell us about what you're focusing on now in your business.
Yeah, my big focus now is actually helping people create, promote, and profit from their own virtual summits so they can skyrocket their business and brand online. And, you know, I have some high-end clients I work with. I partner with some people and also have a kind of a pilot program I launched during my summit. And now every once in a while, you know, people interested, they can always message me and they can get in there still. But other than that, I would recommend just grabbing this a free cheat sheet, actually, at virtualsummitmastery.com/cheat sheet, because that's kind of lays out at least the foundation, the steps I'm going through, mm-hmm. and that's my system I developed. And also, we mentioned this tools guide too, if you're interested in the tools. And that was at navid.me/summit tools guide, and you can maybe get the links there in the show notes.
Perfect. I love that. Yeah, thank you so much for that. And so one of the things that I'm asking all of our experts is that, a lot of our listeners are newer coaches and entrepreneurs and trainers, and they would love to know how to get to that first sweet spot in business of earning $10,000 each month. So whether it's through this type of a business model of a virtual summit or something else, just in general, I'm asking each of our experts to share their top three tips that our listeners can apply right away in their businesses to work towards that goal of $10,000 a month consistently. So what would your top three tips be?
Yeah, that's a really good one, actually. And I thought about this. And the first thing for me personally is really building authentic relationships before you actually need them. I mean, that's the main thing. And how can you do that? You know, you can go out, you know, giving a genuine compliment. You can reach out to experts. And a lot of people, they think, okay, what kind of, you know, what experts should I reach out to? What people, you know, make a list of 10 influencers in your space and start reaching out to them via email, or if you use social media, that can also work. But tell them about what did you enjoy. Maybe you've read some blog posts. Just tell them that they will appreciate that. You know, if you reach out and tell them about it, maybe you read their book, tell them about it. You know, that's a lot of people, they are afraid. They think they will never get back to you. But the honest truth is that many of them do. And I am so grateful that I started actually in the very beginning reaching out, and I got over my fears of doing so, and that really helped me. So that's maybe number one, then relationship building. Number two, I would say, is really focusing on building an email list, especially if you want to build, you know, I mean, do something online. You need an email list. You need an engaged audience. So the email list, and my favorite way of doing this now, since we've been talking so much about this, is really summits. Because why? It gets the relationship building taken care of, because you need to build a relationship by doing a summit. Also, you build your email list rapidly. So that's kind of my main ways, because then as you have that, you can really launch a product to the audience. You can, you know, partner up with people because you have more of a leverage to come with, rather than say, hey, I have 100 people on my list. After a summit, you will have maybe 1,000, 2,000, even more on your email list. And that's more leverage. And that's just what I believe in so strongly. So relationship building, build your email list, actually build an engaged email list, and all that you can do with a summit, which is kind of ties into number three.
Mm-hmm. And what is number three?
That is kind of my number three, is really that, because that's, I mean, surround yourself with successful people. I think the summit is the number three for me, because building authentic relationships, right, and email list ties into doing a virtual summit. So you get everything, all these three steps.
Got it. Yes.
So that's my philosophy. Sorry for making it unclear.
But okay.
Yeah. So
just to clarify,
essentially, yeah, is like surround yourself with successful people. That's the thing is I did. I didn't focus on my email list from the very beginning, but by doing my summit, it kind of took care of everything I've been doing. Kind of, you know, I did all these steps. I did the list building, kind of. I did, you know, relationship building. I had, you know, my mastermind, but doing the summit, it took care of all of them. So you kind of put it into one.
Right. Definitely. And yeah, you know, what's great about a summit too is that you get to, it continues, like you said, it continues on beyond the actual summit itself, like the dates of the summit, right? You're able to repurpose the interviews, you're able to cross promote with the other speakers. And to me, that's what's so fun about it. You create this community of people, and they could either be right in your neighborhood, or they could be on the other side of the world, you know? So it's a really, really great way to connect and help others, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. So I just am curious, what's been your favorite location that you've lived in so far as a citizen of the world?
I actually love Cabo San Lucas. Now I'm in Cancun. I love the ocean and beach here, but Cabo San Lucas was just amazing because I did so many experiences there. I went skydiving. I went to swim with whale sharks. I, you know, was a dolphin trainer for a day. I did, you know, flyboarding. You just fell in love with that kind of vibe there. It's kind of, you know, it's a touristy, it's obviously tourists there, a lot of tourists, but you also have this authentic feel, so you can go and grab, you know, a meal for $5, and it's just really good, you know. I kind of like that feel, and Cabo is like one of my favorite places to live, but here, I don't complain in Cancun either, yeah. So we'll see where I'm going next. I thought, you know, the U.S. would be kind of my place. I've lived there before during high school, and I've been to California, but I'm not as excited anymore. Mostly the reason I'm going to go there every year is because of the all the friends I have there, my for business pretty much, and for building off those relationships even more. But you know, remotely, I like Mexico actually so far the most.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so cool! I love Mexico myself. I've been there numerous times, and Cancun and Playa del Carmen, Cabo, they're all great, great locations for just enjoying the sun and the people, you know, the culture is just really, really kind people. So, and definitely the food. Food's really good.
For sure. Really, really good. And great people, you know, as well.
Yeah. Sure. Awesome. So Navid, it's been such a joy chatting with you. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience today?
I mean, pretty much, you know, that you heard about summits here today. So the thing I would like to provide you as a little gift, as I mentioned, is the 7 steps to creating, promoting, and profiting from your own virtual summit. And just grab that over at virtualsummitmastery.com/cheat sheet. And if you are interested in this program, you can just email me at navid@navidmoises.com. And, you know, I can tell you more about it.
That is so great and so generous of you. Thank you so much for sharing wonderful gifts and all this wisdom. I mean, I'm sure that so many of you who are listening are taking notes. I've taken notes myself because I always learn from every one of our speakers and it's such a joy. So thank you so much for being a part of Miracle Business Breakthrough, Navid. It's been such a joy. I'm sure that we will be staying in touch over the years to come. And we do hope to chat with you again in the near future on one of our future summits.
Definitely. Thanks so much for having me.
And to those of you who are listening to our series, I want to thank you for tuning in, and I empower you to break free and turn your small business into your dream business. Take care.